Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And it's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Remember, live coverage of the news conference to unveil Governor Christie's Bridgegate report coming up at 11:30. This is the report by his hand-picked legal team, but funded by the taxpayers of New Jersey, headed by former Giuliani Deputy Mayor Randy Mastro. We will have the unveiling of that report and the live news conference where they will answer questions from reporters coming up at 11:30. Right now, we've all heard how crime in New York City, especially violent crime, is at record lows. But inside city jails, daily incident reports tell a different and horrific story. Even as the jail's population has shrunk, use of force by corrections officers at Rikers Island has increased by nearly 240%. Two recent deaths at the jail complex have highlighted concerns at Rikers, including the enormous rise in the number of mentally ill inmates. You may have been following Michael Schwartz's reporting in the New York Times on the violence, allegations of abuse, and deaths on Rikers Island recently. Michael Schwartz joins us now to talk about what is going on at the prison complex. Michael, welcome back to WNYC.
Morning, Brian.
And it's worth spending a minute or two talking about what Rikers Island is first and who the inmates are, because it may surprise many of our listeners to hear that it's actually mainly a pretrial center, right?
Correct. It is a sprawling facility that has 10 jails in it, and about 85% of the inmates are there for a very, very short time. They're either awaiting trial or they're waiting to move to a prison upstate. It's only a very small percentage of sentence inmates who are housed there, and they're usually there for short periods as well, from a year to sometimes 4 years, 4 or 5 years.
And we know we have many listeners with ties to Rikers Island. Sometimes we even get calls from Rikers. So we're opening up the phone lines for your calls. If you've been to Rikers, if you work there or used to work there, if you're ever an inmate there, we want to hear from you. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. What do we all need to know about what's happening in the city jails, especially right now? 212-433-9692, if you have any firsthand experience with this. Michael, one of those mentally ill inmates, as you know, was Jason Echevarria, who died in the jail in August of 2012. Tell us about him and what happened to him.
Jason Echevarria was a mentally ill inmate. He was arrested in, September 2011 on a robbery and burglary charge. He had been in and out of incarceration for a while and was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. He had attempted suicide more than once during his time at Rikers Island and was put into a special segregation unit for mentally ill inmates. This is a solitary confinement unit that is was designated for mentally ill units. It was closed down in December, though there's then word that it might be opening back up. But Jason Echevarria was given on August 18th, 2012. There was a sewage leak in the toilets, which apparently happens frequently, and the inmates were given what is called a soap ball, basically a packet of detergent, highly toxic detergent that is supposed to be diluted in water. This, for whatever reason, was not done. Mr. Echevarria consumed all or part of the detergent inside what they call at the jail a soap ball. And over the next several hours, proceeded to plead with correction officers for medical aid and was subsequently ignored. And his body was found inside his cell at 8:30 the next morning.
And we should mention that just this week, the Department of Corrections captain on duty, I guess, at the time, was arrested by FBI agents and charged in connection with Jason's death, right?
Correct. This is a fairly rare case. It was brought by the federal authorities, these charges. This is the first time that the U.S. Attorney's Office, Southern District of New York, had brought civil rights charges against a member of the personnel on Rikers Island in at least a decade.
And there was a report that came out last year about the use of solitary confinement at Rikers that found that of the 800 or so inmates in solitary at any time, over half of them are mentally ill. And you noted in your piece that the practice of using solitary confinement to punish mentally ill inmates had expanded under Mayor Bloomberg's administration. Why was that?
What you've seen over the last decade or so is a large increase in the concentration of mentally ill inmates on Rikers Island, and this is due to a number of factors, including the closure of medical institutions designed to give treatment to these individuals. And what has happened is basically the authorities are left with very little options when mentally ill individuals break laws. These individuals may be in need of treatment, but oftentimes they are sent to Rikers Island, and the jails are uniquely ill-equipped for dealing with these individuals. It is an institution that weighs punishment, sometimes violent punishment, over rehabilitation and treatment, and under these conditions, mentally ill inmates fare particularly poorly, and often one of these punishments is to put individuals into solitary confinement. And this can often exacerbate the symptoms of somebody's mental illness. And researchers have found, particularly among young people, it can also cause mental illness, even among individuals who had no symptoms of mental illness going into the jail. Being put into solitary confinement can actually cause symptoms of mental illness among inmates.
And that 2013 report warned that the extensive use of solitary confinement, sometimes for thousands of days at a time, violated the city's mental health standards and recommended eliminating the use of solitary for the mentally ill. Has anything happened since that report came out?
Yes, there have been steps to wind down the use of solitary confinement for mentally ill inmates. In December, the Department of Correction announced that it was closing this ward where Jason Echevarria was killed or perished. They closed that ward down and replaced it with something which is called a restricted housing unit. This is supposed to be a more therapeutic unit, but in practice, some inmate advocates and officials have said that it resembles the sort of punitive segregation units that had existed in the past.
Let's take a couple of phone calls. Jay calling from Williamsburg. You're on WNYC. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning. How you doing?
All right.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the conditions that was there. I was once a couple of times maybe incarcerated, and they have pretty much subhuman conditions. For example, when you first come in, like reception, everybody has to share one cup of water. They don't give everybody each an individual cup, and it's kind of disgusting. You know, you get TB and all kind of other sorts of stuff. You don't know who you're there in with. Another thing is, a lot of the times, they mix in the special people with normal people, so you don't know who's who. You don't know at any moment if anybody's going to go crazy or anything, because they just mix in everybody with whoever.
You mean mentally ill people per se, right?
Yes. I'm sorry. Mentally, I should have said mentally ill people. And they just mix them in with the population, and they don't really separate them until basically something happens. And you to ask for like a bar of soap, something as small as toothpaste, the corrections officers really give you a hard time. They almost act like judge and jury. They don't give you a chance to be human. If you want just to take a shower, you want soap, they give you a hard time.
Jay, I appreciate your call. I really do. And related to that, the president of the Corrections Officers Union, Norman Seabrook, Michael, told you for your piece that mentally ill inmates at Rikers don't need a corrections officer. Quote, they need medication, treatment, psychological help, unquote. So if the Corrections Officers Union wants the mentally ill patients to get help, and so do the advocates and concerned officials, and as we hear from Jay, the non-mentally ill patients, I realize it's a continuum, but they don't want to be housed with them because it's not to anybody's benefit. What's going wrong?
I mean, I think the issue is finding some place to put mentally ill inmates. I mean, some of them have committed crimes. In the case of Jason Echevarria, he was accused of grabbing a woman, putting her in a chokehold, and ripping off several necklaces. And so some of these individuals have committed crimes, and there's a question of what to do with them. And really the system, though there are some options, there are very, very limited places to put somebody with a diagnosed mental illness who has committed some sort of a crime, even though there's ample research suggesting that putting them in a sort of punitive environment like Rikers Island only exacerbates the behaviors that landed them there in the first place.
Emilio in Queens. You're on WNYC. Hello, Emilio.
Hello, Ryan. How you doing?
I'm all right. What you got?
Well, I've been listening to the comments there, and my 25 years of working with the agency, where I recently retired the previous year.
What did you do?
I worked my way from correction officer to captain to deputy warden within the agency.
Deputy warden?
Yes, and I worked in multiple facilities. Include several on Rikers Island. And what I found within the agency is that, number one, is that they lack proper training for the employee, all the way from correction officer, all the way throughout the management field. So from the onset, you get the initial training within the academy, but after that, you could be with the agency for several years, and your training is limited to refresher training. So here you're dealing with a population like you said, of mentally ill inmates who obviously require professional help to deal with these individuals. And the staffing, number one, is limited on both sides, on the civilian employee to deal with these, to provide an adequate health care professional, to the security aspect, where you may have two correction officers with a volume of 120 or 100 or 100 inmates, depending upon the study.
I hear you. You know, our phone line, our connection is pretty bad, but I want to ask you one follow-up question. There are two guards in this case, the Jason Echevarria case, who are new to the job or inexperienced. The officer who gave Jason the bowl of soap and Officer Castro, who was new to the job as well and who was suing for wrongful termination. What is the proper training for a corrections officer based on your experience?
Well, when I went through the academy in the late 80s, The training was pretty much limited to 7 weeks. And as far as the mental health aspect training, that was very limited in itself. You would take a two-day course on basically how to identify an inmate who may have characteristics of being mentally ill. So that's limited in itself. The penal code, or the New York State penal code, that's pretty much obscure because you don't even touch on that. You may touch an hour or two on the entire penal code, and here you have individuals being employed as peace officers in the United States who don't truly understand the law, so how are they going to know if they're violating the law?
Emilio, I really appreciate your call. Thank you for talking from experience. We're with Michael Schwartz, New York Times correspondent, who's been reporting on the increase in mentally ill populations housed at Rikers Island in New York City. And we just have a few minutes, Michael, but I want to mention one other case, because some of the oversight officials who you spoke with told you stories about an apparent blatant disregard or callousness on behalf of some corrections officers. That seemed to be part of the allegations in the death of Jason Echevarria. It's also related to another death at Rikers, a veteran in his 50s who suffered from schizophrenia and bipolar disorder and died in an overheated cell last month, I guess, according to some versions, from the heat that was just not addressed. What do you know happened in that case?
Well, the medical examiner has not returned a definitive account on what caused this individual's name is Jerome Murda. What caused his death? But indeed, he was discovered dead in a cell that by some accounts had the temperatures inside had risen to over 100 degrees. It is unclear. It's possible that he was on medication that made him particularly susceptible to the high temperatures. But what seems to have happened is that the proper oversight wasn't given here. The correction officer who was on duty apparently was not checking on the inmates as regularly as this person should have, and so had there been any complaints, they weren't heard by the necessary officials who might have been able to get this individual medical help.
And so I just wonder if Mayor de Blasio has a different take on what to do at Rikers with the rising mentally ill population than Mayor Bloomberg did, and if there are any lessons to be learned that they're going to bring from other cities, because it's not that Rikers is the only jail complex in the country to see this increase in mentally ill. It's kind of a national phenomenon. But do you know anything about Mayor de Blasio, given his progressive politics and his new head of the Department of Corrections, Joseph Ponte, and if there are indications yet that something's going to change?
The new commissioner Joseph Pond is coming in with I believe a broad mandate to enact reforms. Mayor de Blasio has said that he would like to see the overuse of solitary confinement ended, and he'd like to curtail officers' use of excessive force and improve the situation for mentally ill inmates. And Mr. Pont seems to have had a track record of doing these things. He's coming from the Department of Correction in Maine, where he reduced the use of solitary confinement there, and I believe completely eliminated its use for mentally ill inmates. The question is, Rikers Island is a much bigger. A much bigger facility, a much bigger institution, and whether or not he will be able to implement the kinds of reforms that he implemented in Maine is still a question.
Michael Schwartz covering this horrific story of mentally ill people at Rikers, solitary confinement, and some of the results of that. Michael, thank you very much for your work.
Thank you, Brian.